Welcome to the ITAM Review Podcast, news, reviews and resources for ITAM, SAM and software licensing professionals.
Hello and welcome to ITAM Antics, our monthly news podcast where we discuss the biggest ITAM stories from last month. We are recording this for the April edition. We're recording this towards the end of March 2024. And joining me, we have Ryan Stefani.
Hello.
And we have AJ Witt.
Hello, everyone. Hi.
So before we kick off, there's just one housekeeping thing that I'd like to just remind people about is that Wisdom EMEA is coming thick and fast. It's still June. June is miles away. We know it's a long way away, but it's not. It's only a couple of months now. So June 18th and 19th is Wisdom EMEA. And with our world famous training course is also taking place on the Monday the 17th, just the day before. So obviously registration is live. It's starting to fill up. So be sure to...
Can I chime in there, George? I apologize.
Yeah, go on, do it. Are you going to do a shameless plug, Ryan?
it's always shameless plugs. If I'm on, it's probably a shameless plug for something. So, yeah, and again, if you're at least a subscriber, just really want to make sure it's called out here. If you're at least a subscriber, you get a free ticket to Wisdom EMEA, and you get that access to the in-person workshop, both included in your subscription. So if you're a subscriber, take advantage of that now. Use your subscription to get the free tickets to both the event and one of the workshops as well. So the SAP workshop will be led by Becky Rial from JNC, and Microsoft will be led by our very own Rich Gibbons as well.
Fantastic. Well, there's even more reason. So if you haven't already got your tickets, do it. And if you're at least a subscriber, you know what to do. All right. Well, this month, we've got three stories to go through. There's a few more on the site, but these are the ones I wanted to focus on in this episode. So first one is a Flexera story. Then we're going to look into kind of some information from the Software Vendor Insights event that Rich hosted, basically looking at what the numbers from the software vendors can teach us in the ITAM world. And then lastly, who loses when Broadcom wins? This will be an interesting discussion, I think, on that front. So firstly, first story is Flexera is the first SAM tool vendor verified for Oracle E-Business Suite applications. So Oracle's Global Licensing and Advisory Services, GLAS, as you may know by the acronym, provides tools for customers to gain insights into their Oracle software deployments. But in addition to kind of having its own tools for that, it also provides a certification program for SAM tools vendors to gain the kind of Oracle verified tool vendor status. This announcement is obviously that Flexera has been the first software asset management tool vendor to gain certification for Oracle's e-business suite applications specifically. And prior to that, SAM vendors could obtain certifications for three other Oracle solutions, being Oracle Database and Database Options, Oracle Fusion Middleware, and Java SE. So now there's this fourth section of their portfolio to gain certification for. So AJ, obviously as a former ITAM yourself, obviously Oracle E-Business Suite is one of kind of their biggest product lines. It incorporates their ERP and their CRM applications. So is this a bit of a coup for Flexera, or should we expect to see a bit of a flood of other tools vendors announcing their certifications here?
I would expect there'll be others as well, but that's how it's followed over the past few years, where Oracle have really kind of built out this certification program. They had the database and options certifications or verifications for quite a while, and that's all they did. And really in the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen them build out into all of their products. Yeah, e-business is a really important one. It's not something you can measure with conventional SAM tools. Lots of unusual metrics. It's not based on installs or usage. It's typically based on things like, for example, number of expense claims or number of forms submitted or something like that, or number of contracts signed. So yeah, it's a tricky one to manage. I was in an organization where we used the business suite, and I basically had to get the database admins to run scripts for me to get me consumption figures to make sure that we were compliant. The other big area you need to pay attention to is authorizations and authorization levels. Typically, as with a lot of these things, you end up giving people too much authority, and that's more expensive. You don't need a full manager license for someone who's just processing a subset of things. So anything that really helps with being able to manage that more efficiently will be a good thing. And I would expect other SAM providers to be built bundling us in with maybe their other Oracle solutions. A number of companies out there, USU, Snow, AeroCent have all got either database or middleware or both, or Java.
Yeah.
Tooling around this has been verified by Oracle. So yeah, it's it would make sense to see some more coming along. And I'm sure that there are some in the pipeline. Probably Flexera have just had the ability to move quicker on it and get it out the door.
They've got the PR win at this stage, haven't they? I think actually the article that we wrote on this, we did publish the full list of the like every other vendor that's certified for the other three solutions. And like I say, it's a big list. It's a big list of tools out there. So Ryan, obviously apart from the third party tools, obviously GLAS have their own tools for discovery. Would you ever advise a customer to use Oracle's tools, or would you always recommend they use a third party?
My short answer is no. I mean, I wouldn't want to work directly with, there's always caveats, and I was curious if AJ has any insights after I kind of give my little spiel on it. But my short answer is no, I don't think I would want to utilize Oracle GLAS, right? Because back to what we kind of talked about before is expanded scope, or we talked about before historically, is the expanded scope of your audit and what visibility they're going to look at for discovery and where it's going to end. And that access to that data, that direct access to that data without you being having the opportunity to sift through it and filter through what you're looking at. I wouldn't want to utilize those tools, because they have such a loving and glowing, relationship with customers, and they're so forgiving. I wouldn't want to give that much stuff up. I mean, they are in their defense, I don't know if it's a marketing ploy or if it's pragmatic, but they're trying to make their marketing materials look as if they're pushing for a softer tone on audits. Like they're not looking for compliance. And they've done some things. I don't know if you guys have seen the VSAM program has been mentioned, the verified SAM program, where there's not a lot of insights. It's been fairly new, where you can utilize some third-party software vendors. So maybe they are taking a softer approach, but my gut reaction is no, I would want to recommend that. I would much rather have people work with their third-party tools that are verified. Again, doesn't revoke or indemnify you from audits, but it allows you to collect the data that's going to, they're not going to have to run their own custom scripts. Or I would want to work with one of those vSAM program partners or other, good SAM Oracle experts as well to help me analyze the data that I'm collecting. That's my gut reaction, AJ. I don't know if you have any different thought process on that, though.
Well, the third-party providers here often pride themselves on effectively running Oracle scripts anyway. They'll say that their tool will output what the Oracle tool will output. All you're really doing is breaking that connection back to Oracle, and they're running it with your own third party rather than either Oracle Direct or Oracle's appointed auditor. So you're going to get similar output out of those tools, with the ability to check your homework before you hand it in. That's really what it's down to. It's having that data under your control and not under a third party's control. Is the big win. And also they can provide services around that. Most Oracle tools out there are the tool plus service as well. So you'll get access to an Oracle licensing expert to help you navigate that audit, or at least even not under audit conditions, of course. This is the big benefit. You're only going to get to run Oracle's tools if you're being audited. Whereas a third-party tool, you can run every 6 months, every year, to do your ELP and just check where you are on your deployments.
Yeah, I was thinking too, like, as you're on the same page, it sounds like the third-party, on like using the GLAS tools, that like the ones that Oracle provides natively, I was trying to rack my head on what opportunities would I want to do that. I mean, there might be some outliers. I mean, again, I think third party is the way to go, I would think too, but I there might be some outliers, I guess, if you really have zero visibility. I just, I don't know. I can't really, I'm really trying to be devil's advocate of when I would go to Oracle to utilize their tools for discovery. I can't come up with a good reason at all. I mean, I would rather do a one-off engagement with a service provider if I didn't have the tools and scripts. So I couldn't come up with anything. I try to play devil's advocate and think, well, maybe if I'm coming up for renewal, I know I'm out of compliance, you know, I throw caution to the wind and say, hey, it's better than no visibility, but I just don't see a scenario where it feels advantageous to do it in my mind. I couldn't come up with anything.
No, I mean, I guess the only way would be is if you were certifying your EULA and you wanted to have like the authoritative Oracle count of what's out there that's covered under your ULA. But once again, you're not really going to get access to that script, you know, unless they're auditing you, and you don't want them in auditing you, or even doing some kind of sort of soft audit. That way lies danger and expense. So, yeah.
Like your point about this idea that you can check your homework before you hand it in kind of sums it up quite well. It makes me wonder how many people actually do use the Oracle tools directly. I'd be interested to know what the kind of overall figures are among Oracle customers.
I'd be curious to hear if any of our listeners do. Yeah, I'd be curious what their use case is. I'd obviously reach out. I'd be always love to hear, you know, what the use case is and if you do that.
Exactly. All right, well, let's move on. So second story is software vendor insights. What do the numbers tell us about the opportunities for ITAM negotiations? So this came off the back of an online summit that Rich hosted recently with Deloitte and USU, where he explored the latest financials from Amazon, Google, Broadcom, Salesforce, IBM, and SAP. You can access the full summit on demand, actually. And if you go to the website, so itassetmanagement.net, if you click on events, the drop down there, there'll be webinars and on-demand webinars. If you click on-demand webinars, that's where you have an archive of all the webinars and online summits that we've done. You can rewatch them and access them. They're all there. They're all there to see. But we also did an article on this. So kind of as a bit of an intro, basically an important part of ITAM is paying close attention to the health of the companies that we buy software from. So you can learn, you'd be surprised really to learn what you can about kind of software publishers' general health trajectory, priorities from their quarterly and their annual results. It can give indications of whether there are audits on the way for a particular product line, such as, you know, is a product line struggling? Could there be discounts on that line coming down the track if it's one that's a high priority for theirs, but it's not quite getting the results they want? Or is there a product potentially at risk of being discontinued? Likewise, if there are revenue gaps, which you could see, they're falling short of target, will they use audits as a means to bump those up? So there's lots of things you can look for there. So rather than going through all the numbers, which you can in the article, or if you watch the summit yourself, I just wanted to put this out there and just kind of ask you guys what the kind of things are that, as an ITAM professional, what people should be looking for in these results. Maybe AJ, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean the most basic figure you're looking at is, are they growing? What do their revenue do? Don't worry too much about profit, because there's plenty of software companies out there that don't make profits, particularly startups. Have a look at their revenue. That's how much money is coming in the door each quarter. And these are often quite big numbers, though, big growth. If you look at, say, Salesforce, for example, Salesforce has posted over 20% growth pretty much every year since birth. ServiceNow typically in a similar range as well. So they're all growing rapidly, which is good, because if they're growing rapidly, they're going to be less interested in trying to get money out of their existing customers. It's all about gaining new customers. It's when growth starts to slow down that you start worrying about, well, okay, how do we get more money out of our customers? And of course, one of the ways they're going to get more money out of you as a customer is to audit you, or to maybe try and push you into some different products. The classic thing being moved from perpetual to subscription software, for example.
How relevant, AJ, with the Broadcom stuff. Good lead in for our next segment. Yeah, the Broadcom for VMware.
Good segue. Well, let's tackle that one, shall we? Should we dive straight into that one? So this title, I like this title. Who loses when Broadcom wins? So it's our final story for this month. So this is basically in an article by Thomas O'Leary, the CEO and founder of Origina and president of Free ICT Europe Foundation. He explored the impact of Broadcom's acquisition of VMware on many facets, particularly what impact it'll have on VMware staff, obviously customers of VMware, but also on kind of driving more e-waste, which is quite an interesting angle. Obviously, Broadcom has something of a reputation for unfriendly practices when it comes to boosting its bottom line after it's made an acquisition. The article paints a pretty gloomy picture, I'd say. Obviously, as you literally just mentioned, you've got that switch to subscription licensing is in full force for VMware. You've got parts of the portfolio being sold off. There are redundancies expected if you can if you base it on the form of previous acquisitions that they've made. And then there was a very, very dark angle about the companies, obviously some companies that have built their business on VMware infrastructure on perpetual licenses. That if they're now suddenly going to have to do pay subscription, there's a risk that some of those companies could literally go under because they just don't have the financial resources to pay the high fees that they thought they'd paid. You know, they thought they'd done it. So a quote there I wanted to pull out was that several CISPE members have stated that without the ability to license and use VMware products, they will quickly go bankrupt and out of business. Some state that over 75% of their revenues depend on VMware software virtualization technologies. I mean, that's pretty staggering. But let's tackle the elephant in the room first. AJ, at the time of recording this, there's just been a bit of an announcement, which we will have an article on by the time this goes out. But do you want to tee us off?
Yeah, it's interesting that we're sort of talking in the future about the past.
Okay.
This part of the podcast is only relevant if you're listening to it before the 30th of April, which is literally a week away from when we're recording. Broadcom are transitioning all of your license keys and license information from the VMware portal across to Broadcom's infrastructure starting on Tuesday, April the 30th. I think it's 7:30 p.m. Pacific. So for some of us, that will be Wednesday, the 1st of May. And yeah, there those license transitions will happen. It's going to take about a week. They expect to restore service on the following Sunday, which sounds okay. You know, they're just swapping from one system to another. But unfortunately, no, it's not okay. There are a couple of key things here. The first thing is, if you have VMware license keys and serials which are not actively supported, not in active support, so you don't have a support maintenance contract for those. If you don't have a support maintenance contract, those keys will not be transferred to the Broadcom system. So effectively, you lose those keys. It seems ironic that we're talking about a virtualization technology requiring you to actually go and run a report, download some keys, print it off, and probably go and stick it in a fire safe somewhere with your other license keys from box software from 20 years ago. But that's the reality. Those serials and license keys will disappear when Broadcom transition to their new system at the start of May. So go off and download all of your keys. Get that done pronto because you're going to lose them anyway. This only really applies to expired keys, but I would say just go and download everything. Because you need to check Broadcom's workings, make sure everything gets transferred. A few other little techie things that will mostly annoy your infrastructure teams. One of the things you could do in the old VMware portal is have a folder structure. And in my experience, what you'd have is you'd have a server farm and then the VMware hosts and then storage nodes and things like that, all listed underneath it in nice hierarchical folder structure because that's how server people work. That's going to a flat structure, so you're going to lose all that hierarchical information, which might be a bit of a pain when you're trying to work out which license is assigned to which box in your data center. So you need to download that as well. The article includes some links to as to how to do that, a timeline, and also some tips on who you should inform. Definitely your infrastructure team, perhaps your architects as well, perhaps service desk as well. You haven't got much time to get this done. Hopefully we'll get this podcast published quite quickly. But this is a critical thing to do if you've got any legacy VMware licenses that are out of support that you need to keep a record of.
It's a big deal, isn't it? It's a big deal. So,
yeah. I mean, you know, this is software you've paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for.
Yeah. A week's notice is pretty poor.
I mean, they may well have published this notice sort of a little bit before that, but it's sort of broke today in the ITAM world. I think it's you know, this is stuff that you own, right? And you know, yes, you need to keep records, but it's a prime example of not relying on an online portal. You know, I can remember as an ITAM manager thinking, well, my keys are online somewhere. No, in the Microsoft portal or whatever. I don't need to download those. No, yes, you do, because those portals can disappear. Operationally, in a couple of weeks' time, your operational teams aren't going to have access to the license keys for a few days whilst they transition. So, you know, if you need to rebuild a cluster because something's happened, then you've got that problem to attend to as well. It's not just an ITAM problem, it's an operational thing as well.
It's ironic that you talk about the short turnaround. I don't know if you guys saw this. The CEO for Broadcom talked about, this is a direct quote, "We have always been and remain ready to work with our customers on their specific concerns." Well, it doesn't seem so if you're going to go ahead and strip
that. No, that was a statement just last week, wasn't it?
Exactly. It was just recently, yeah. Because one thing they did is they talked about too, like if you're in the middle of renewal, I don't know if you guys saw this as well, if you're in the middle of a renewal now, they will go ahead because they're going to make you force you off of perpetual licenses. And they were going to say you're going to have to go to subscription. But now they'll go ahead and offer extended support, I believe, now as part of this, because they're getting a big bunch of pushback. So now retroactively, they're saying that they're always ready to remain willing to work with customers. But I think that's the midst of the Reuters report that the European Union, the European authorities are looking at Broadcom for antitrust, I believe. So just ironic if it doesn't feel like they're trying to work with their customers and some of the moves they're making, their statements don't align with their actions.
VMware is so ubiquitous out there. I imagine there are some very, very, very large organizations out there who are big enough to exert pressure. US government being one, no doubt. There's it's all well and good them saying that they're going to do this, but I as always, have a conversation with your rep and see what they can do, see how they can help, because it's still money coming in the door at the end of the day, and that's what Broadcom are interested in now. They're not innovating or doing any research into VMware technologies. They're just there to extract as much money out of it as they can.
So more broadly, this article is about who loses when Broadcom wins. So I think we've gone quite comprehensively through some losers there. Any more losers in this situation?
I mean, I kind of thought about this a little bit. So I think losers, Broadcom in the long term may actually lose to some degree, unless they're going to trim the fat and have wider profit margins. But I saw there was I think it was the market, Gartner projected hyperconverged infrastructure market is actually going to shift from 30% non-VMware in 2024 to 60% in 2029. So they're going to lose some market share here. I mean, they could be looking different profit markets, increasing profit margins, and that's what they're trying to do. And they're going to prey on the legacy vendors. But what you're going to probably see in my mind is on losers, jump into winners a little bit, George, but other hyperscalers and virtualization technologies are probably going to win, right, as a result. So you can't just flip the switch and migrate anything over. But in the long term, this is probably going to be detrimental to their market share, I imagine, as well. So the winners potentially are those other areas. And then it might expedite some technical debt projects or modernization projects in organizations that were heavily reliant on VMware technology. That's kind of where I thought from the winners. There was a lot. It's hard to find winners, but that's where I would say, quote unquote, the winners would be for me. I don't know if AJ has a different take on it, but that's kind of where my mind went to.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be people who are offering services to get around these problems. Your technical teams as well will enjoy it because they'll have a big migration to do, which will keep them busy for a long time and justify their existence on the payroll. Microsoft people, no doubt, will as well. I mean, VMware really led the way, and Hyper-V wasn't a big deal really amongst server teams, even Microsoft server teams for certainly back in the day. So maybe we'll see a bit more of that going on as well.
What would you think too? Like, for, I know it's losers, but like for hardware, like so, I think you're going to see a lot of the data centers. This might modernize technology, but like the x86 servers, wouldn't they start to drop off too over time here? So anything, because people are going to migrate away from on-prem, I would think this is an opportunity to say, hey, we're going to move this workload to the cloud. So some of the hardware that would run this would be retired as well.
Yeah, and potentially that old hardware is quite inefficient. Mm-hmm. So there's a sustainability aspect there as well, potentially where lower power consumption, more efficient servers are being used. So yeah, there's a few winners perhaps, but mostly it'd be Broadcom's bottom line.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough to find winners. You're like sifting through stuff to try and find this. Like it's kind of like gold mine. Where's the nugget? And I think we're polishing up some fool's gold in this a little bit to some degree to find winners.
There you go. Well, that kind of wraps us up for this month. So is there anything you guys want to plug? Anything you're working on at the moment you want people to be aware of?
Before we go first, AJ, if you have anything.
We have new courses coming on Lisa. I've just done two courses for Adobe, which will be live in the next month or so, certainly by the end of May. So look out for those. We've got pretty comprehensive coverage of the basics and also getting into all the product details and some licensing risks around Adobe. There'll be an exam for that as well. So you'll be able to take an Adobe exam at some point. So yeah, that's been me really. That's been my focus for the past month or so.
Yeah, and then I again, Lisa courses as well. So we have a open to the public free webinar for audit defense process. Kylie Fowler is going to be joining us to walk through that process. There's been some, speaking of VMware and Broadcom, we just released new courses at Essentials in Advance with an exam on licensing for VMware, which should actually cover some of the Broadcom. It focuses on the Broadcom acquisition and the impacts that we know of today. Should be working to keep that up to date as we learn more and more what the overall impacts will look like there. And then trying to think, I you'll start seeing some stuff for me on kind of future forward asset management articles I'll be posting. So it'll be kind of opinion pieces. So that'll be kind of a, I guess, fun project for me to work on. I like talking about that. So that'll be something to keep an eye out for in the next few weeks, I would imagine.
Fantastic. All right, lots on the plate. Well, we better go and get this article posted to get that public service announcement out to people, which will obviously be in the past when you hear this. So, like you say, AJ, always fun talking about the future in the past.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. See you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.